Morning.
Good morning from Tilbury.
From Tilbury. Your prediction of long-term recovery there depends on what the Independent Office of Budget Responsibility, which you set up, calls a roller coaster in public spending. In other words, it's a big dipper. Now, that dip is going to come in the 2 years after the election with deeper cuts in public spending than we've known in this Parliament. Are you going to tell us before the election where the axe will fall?
Well, that is not actually the approach as Conservatives we will take. We want to take a more balanced approach, and we would not put all the cuts in the government departments, as the OBR forecast shows. We would also make savings in the welfare budget, and we'd also take additional action against tax avoidance, tax evasion, aggressive tax planning. So we'd have a more balanced approach, and so the cuts in the government departments would be at the same pace as we have had over the last couple of years, indeed the same pace as we're going to have in just a couple of weeks' time when we have the new financial year.
So you're going to have to find cuts in the welfare budget, perhaps £12 billion. Who is going to pay for that?
Well, our judgment is you have to have a welfare system where it pays to work, and you also have to have a welfare system that has a control on its costs. I think this is a challenge facing all Western countries. In Britain, we have met that challenge in the last few years by legislating for £21 billion of welfare cuts. We need another £12 billion, and we've set out some examples of the kinds of things you can do, like freezing working age benefits. I'm not proposing that these things are easy, but they are necessary if we're going to go on living within our means.
Well, more and more people are living into old age. More and more people are pensioners. You've made quite a thing of protecting pensioners. If they're still going to be protected, people will want to know where that £12 billion from the welfare budget is coming from, because it's going to come from people who can ill afford to give away more. Now, if you won't say that before the election, people have got a right to ask, you know, do you have a plan that you're not telling us, or don't you have a plan? Which is it?
Well, first of all, can I make this point about people on pensions? People who've worked hard, saved hard all their lives, I think, deserve a decent income in retirement. There are also, of course, people often on fixed incomes.
Well, if they're protected, where do you get the £12 billion?
Well, I will answer your question, right, James. But the first thing I'd say is I took probably the most difficult decision of this Parliament, the one certainly that has saved the country the most amount of money, was to increase the pension age. I think it's better to increase the pension age in the way we've done. That saved £500 billion for this country, and it means that the actual pension people can receive can go on being generous. Indeed, we've uprated it a lot, and it goes up in this triple lock, and people are about £1,000 better off a year with their pension than they were at the start of the Parliament. So I think the pension age proved to be a more effective way of getting money and saving money in that part of the welfare budget. When it comes to the rest of the welfare budget, look, what we've done is made decisions in this Parliament to underrate welfare payments below inflation. I am proposing again to freeze working age welfare benefits, not disability benefits. That's a difficult decision. It's something, of course, my political opponents say they wouldn't necessarily do, but then they would mean putting up taxes or higher borrowing. It's a choice I've made. And by the way, you see the benefits of welfare reform, not just in money saved, but in jobs created, the lowest number of workless households in our country's modern history. It's part of an approach that is getting Britain back to work.
Yeah, but it doesn't, you know, you make this sound gradual. If you're going to get £12 billion, that's huge. You've been able to do nothing like that with a welfare budget, which you've talked about for the last 5 years. People have a right to know where you plan to get it. Or if you don't plan to get it, they've also got a right to conclude that you're just making a statement without knowing where it's going to come from.
No, we've saved £21 billion in this Parliament. So now we need 12 in the next. And as with welfare and government departments and tax avoidance and tax evasion, you know, people can judge me by my track record.
Okay.
You know, I am a Chancellor who's able to say, look, I've made these sensible decisions, balanced decisions. We can see the benefits in a growing economy. We can see the benefits in this massive moment for the United Kingdom, which is our debt as a share of our national income is now falling. Do we want to put that all at risk? Do we want our debt to start rising again? And that will be the case if we deviate from this plan to go on bearing down on our public, on our national deficit and our national debt. If we don't do that, As I say, debt will rise, and but we'll if you be claim, back in the mess we were in 5 years ago.
Well, since you've raised the point that you believe that in a big picture you have fulfilled what you said you would do, it's worth reminding you that you haven't. I mean, you're only halfway there. You're at the point that Alistair Darling, your Labour predecessor, said he would be at under his plan, which, of course, was ridiculed by you, at this stage. The Prime Minister said that it would be a moral failure if you reached, if you ended this Parliament at the point where you now find yourself. So you are, in the Prime Minister's own words, a moral failure.
Well, I don't think that is fair. We set a target, a very explicit target, my first budget, and that was that we'd get debt falling as a share of national income by the end of the Parliament. And we have achieved that, and that has required a conscious decision. You know, I had the opportunity, because we are selling back the banks that the last government bailed out, because we've got lower debt interest, we've got lower unemployment, so less welfare. I could have used that money and blown it on a big pre-election giveaway. I actually took the responsible decision to use that to pay down the debt, so the national debt is now falling as a share of national income. And that is because I think no short-term giveaway can possibly do more for families than the benefits of a long-term plan and a recovering national economy. And that ultimately is the judgment I make as a Chancellor. People, of course, can offer alternatives, but the alternatives are giveaways, borrowing, spending. They make interviews like this easier, but I tell you what, they're worse for the country. And the country picks up the pieces in higher borrowing, public services you can't afford, and people losing their jobs. And I don't want to go back to that Britain.
No, but what we need before the election is clarity, so that people can make a judgment about where to put their vote. You've indicated where you think you can find savings in welfare. People will wonder on the record where you can. If you look at the rest of the government departments, they're going to have to take cuts. We're faced with two different views. We've got your view that you want to find this spending over the next couple of years, deeper spending cuts than we've known in the last five. At the same time, we've got the Prime Minister saying that the proportion of defence spending, in his view, should rise to 2% of GDP. Now, how do you square a rise in defence spending with the cuts that you're talking about?
Well, can I just correct this one point? I'm not proposing deeper cuts than the ones over the last 5 years. I'm proposing the same pace of cuts for the next couple of years as we had over the last five, because we're making those other decisions on welfare and indeed tax evasion and avoidance. And I should just say,
well, I want to come to that.
I will come.
Let's do that.
Okay, let me answer the question on defence. Look, we are currently spending more than 2% of our national income on defence.
Yes.
We believe strongly in the defence of our country. As you report on the news, we're helping there in Eastern Europe, train the Ukrainian forces. Our fighters are protecting the Baltic states at the moment. Our military are doing a brilliant job in Sierra Leone at the moment. So we're playing our global role. And what we have committed to is the long-term budget the military really needs, which is the defence equipment budget, because they're very long lead times. I'm committing to real terms increases in that, £160 billion of expenditure in that, which enables us to buy the latest equipment for our brave men and women who fight on our behalf.
Yes. So you're promising 2% through the next Parliament, are you?
Well, we are meeting the 2% target.
Yeah, I know you are at the moment. I'm asking you what's going to happen in the next Parliament.
I don't think anyone should doubt the determination of David Cameron and his Chancellor to make sure
so you're not promising
our country is well defended. As I say, we meet our international commitments. We've set out our long-term defence budget for equipment.
You're not promising 2% over the next Parliament.
We are promising to keep our country safe.
OK, so no 2%. Look, the tax evasion measures, you want to get 5 billion. Am I right in thinking that the tax evasion measures that you're laying out would mean that your former Trade Minister, Lord Green, Stephen Green, would be facing criminal charges and probably jail for what he did in running the Swiss arm of HSBC?
Well, I can't discuss individuals. And you wouldn't expect me as a Chancellor to discuss the tax affairs of individuals.
But as I understand
we've had this discussion on the programme before. But look, I'm going to make a point. I have not shied away from taking the decisions to crack down on evasion and avoidance. David Cameron has led the international effort that has got us to a place where we've got new rules so we know more about offshore bank accounts. Today we are setting out new criminal powers for people who have offshore bank accounts and don't pay their taxes, new criminal powers for the lawyers and the accountants who help evade taxes, new penalties for those firms that help yep. people evade their taxes. It is a whole suite of weapons in our armoury so that people pay the taxes that are owed.
OK, you're not going to discuss an individual case, but anybody listening to what you've just said and looking at the story of Stephen Green, who was appointed to the government as Trade Minister and served there for 2 years and was former chairman of the Swiss private bank with HSBC, which helped 100,000 people evade tax in different countries, would conclude that people like him, your former ministerial colleague, would be caught in that net, correct?
Well, as I said, I'm not going to discuss an individual. James, you're perfectly fairly repeating some of the allegations, very serious allegations that have been made about HSB Swiss. One of the things we're doing today is saying if you are a bank that is helping people to evade their taxes, then you face criminal charges and you face very heavy fines. Those powers never existed in the past. We're proposing to introduce them. It is a measure of what we are prepared to do to make sure we have a fair country where people pay what is owed, and the rich can't avoid that. By the way, most people, wealth people, of course, pay their taxes, but the few who avoid their taxes or evade their taxes in the way that I've described, we are coming after them.
In 2003, you made a famous remark on television. It shows how far you've changed, really, where you talked about some pretty clever financial products out there that helped people to get round the tax rules. I mean, and you said, you went on to say that you maybe shouldn't be recommending this on television. You were, long before you were in government. Quite a change, yeah?
Well, I was pointing out that under the Labour government, there were all sorts of loopholes and that help people evade and avoid their taxes. When I've had the chance to actually do something about it in government, I've shut down those loopholes. You know, rich people in the city used to boast that they paid lower tax rates than their cleaners. I've stopped that. People used to routinely avoid stamp duty. I've stopped that. Foreigners didn't pay capital gains tax. I've stopped that. So again, people can judge me by their record, and they can also look at the new measures we're announcing today, very tough new criminal powers to tackle tax evasion.
We talked to Danny Alexander earlier. It is, of course, a coalition budget. What would you have done if you hadn't had the Liberal Democrats in government? Inheritance tax?
Hey, look, I've set out a budget of what I think is the right judgments for the country.
Come on, it was a negotiation.
Of course, as a Conservative government, we'd like to go further on the personal allowance, take that to £12,500. We'd like to raise the higher rate threshold to £50,000, the point at which people pay the 40p income tax, so you don't have people on middle incomes sucked into that higher rate. You know, that's the kind of thing that actually the Liberal Democrats didn't support, and I guess is the kind of thing, you know, I might have done differently in this budget. But I was able to get that above inflation increase in the higher rate.
Okay.
And generally, I think the package we've presented is a broadly conservative package, and it's an indication of the kind of leadership and economic direction you'll take under a conservative government.
I just want to come back finally and briefly to where we began. The election's in 48 days. Fraser Nelson, on your side of politics, very much says on the Spectator website that there is going to be butchery in non-protected departments of government once these cuts come in. You've talked about the welfare budget having to undergo big changes, although you protect people at the older end of the age scale. Before we vote on May the 7th, will we know where you're going to find the money that you say is absolutely essential in the first 2 years of the next Parliament, if you are going to deliver what you promise at the end of the Parliament, and people will remember that you failed to deliver what you promised at the beginning of this Parliament?
Well, we promised to turn this country around, and I think Britain is immeasurably stronger than it was 5 years ago. We're growing, we're creating jobs, we've got the fastest-growing Western economies.
Didn't mention productivity once in speech. Didn't come. It was like Ed Miliband and the deficit in his speech. You didn't use the word productivity because it's bad.
No, productivity is weak in our country, has been for many, many decades. And that's why we have our education reforms, we have our welfare reforms. That's why we're investing in science, investing in transport. You know, I'm not someone who says there's no role for government at all. Far from it. One of the big objectives I've got at the moment is to address the north-south divide that weakens our productivity and build a northern powerhouse. So I'm all for sorting these problems out. But if you've not got the fundamentals right, if you're not on top of your national debt, if you haven't got your debt share falling, if you're not creating jobs, none of these things are affordable. You can't have great public services like the NHS. You can't defend your country. And that's what we offer. What we offer Britain is the continuation of an economic plan that is working, a Britain that is walking tall in the world again.
And we'll know the detail before we vote, will we?
But people know what we've done because they've seen our track record.
Right.
We've set out the kinds of things we need to do in the future. We've got to keep working through this plan. Britain faces a choice. Go back to the chaos of the past or work through the competence of a long-term economic plan that is delivering for Britain.
George Osborne, thanks very much.